when you hear the phrase culture wars, political debates over issues like abortion and same-sex marriage may leap to mind. But in Texas, the debate over the state's textbook guidelines has been an important battleground. A new documentary called The Revisionaries chronicles how evolution and social studies are taught in Texas public schools and why the state's textbooks are so important for the rest of the country. Joining me now are the film's director, Scott Thurman, and Kathy Miller, who's featured in the film. She's the president of Texas Freedom Network, which has worked to counter the efforts of religious conservatives. The Revisionaries is being screened this Saturday at 6 p.m. at the Tribeca Film Festival, and I'm very pleased it has brought them to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
And in the interest of fairness, we originally planned to have Don McElroy, the former chair of the Texas State Board of Education, join us for this discussion, but he has become unavailable.
He's a dentist by trade, so he's working busily. He was up in New York recently, and he came to our premiere, but he has to get back to work. So,
how often does the Texas State Board of Education review textbooks, Scott?
They review textbooks every decade or so. It always depends on the state's budget, but about every 10 years at the soonest.
Well, for example, in history books, how much do you have to review? Doesn't history remain pretty much the same? Would you just look at the last 10 pages?
Well, they have a team of writers that create the standards rough draft, and then the board goes through and debates. They hear public testimony, and then sort of amend the TEKS there from there on.
The TEKS, that's the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills?
Yes, that's correct. They're standards that guide the curriculum for the teachers and also set guidelines for textbooks that must meet those guidelines.
Hasn't the system changed over the last few decades? How was the curriculum determined in the past?
You know, that goes beyond a little bit of my knowledge. I'm sure
Well,
Kathy
let's bring
Miller.
Kathy in here. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, so how has the process changed?
Well, you've gone from having an appointed board to an elected board. You've gone from having a board with 27 members to 15 members. But there has always been an element of allowing these board members to make changes with not necessarily based on expert input. I think things have changed over the years in part because you now have members elected in partisan elections, and they really seem to have politicized the process far more than it was, say, in the 80s and early 90s.
Texas has a lot of students in its public school system. Is that why the decisions of the Board of Education have an impact outside the state?
Yes, absolutely. Texas is the second largest consumer of textbooks in the country, and because we are what is called a single adoption state, meaning the books run through the State Board of Education, they purchase all of the books at one time, so publishers can recoup their investment pretty much right away. Because it's costly to make changes in hardback textbooks, then they have peddled those Texas books all over the rest of the country. So the baseline for most other states has been Texas. That is changing due to online publishing, electronic publishing, and the national core standards. But for the time being, Texas still has a very big impact on what kids all over the country are taught.
A lot more clout than Delaware or Rhode Island might have.
Absolutely.
Doesn't the state of Texas dictate what books the local school districts use? You're saying they all use the same books?
Previously, until the last legislative session did free up local districts to make more choices. But yes, the State Board of Education would adopt one or 10 textbooks that, quote, met their standards. Whatever textbooks they agreed met their standards would be placed on a list that essentially districts could get for free if they chose from that list. If they didn't choose from that list, they would have to expend some of their own resources for the instructional materials. So while they're not required to adopt those books, they are required to teach all of the curriculum standards. They are required to be tested on those standards, and the books are paid for by the state if they choose from that list.
So if a teacher decides that a textbook is inaccurate, there's little that can be done because the students are going to be tested on whatever is in the book.
Yes, that's unfortunately true.
Scott, the board has outside experts to help review and craft these teaks that you talked about. How many people were involved in the teaks involving evolution?
Well, recently the board decided for the science teaks in 2008 that there would be six experts. Now, these experts were appointed by the board, two members appointed each expert, and there are 15 members. A few members decided not to appoint. But for the science, we had six experts, and one of those experts became one of the main characters in the film. His name is Ron Wetherington. He's a professor of anthropology at Southern Methodist University in Dallas, and he sort of is, I guess you could say, the thorn in Don McElroy's side.
Well, but he was unusual because most of the experts were brought in by religious conservatives who nominated experts from outside the state of Texas to make their point.
Yes. You know, the social conservatives appointed two individuals from an organization called the Discovery Institute.
So you're saying social conservatives rather than religious conservatives. You're making that
interchangeable, yes. For me, I feel like those terms are interchangeable. Religious conservatives, many people call them far right. Social conservatives, I think they refer to themselves as social conservatives. Kathy Miller and her organization usually refer to them as far right. So interchangeable there.
Now,
I think Don actually refers to himself as a religious conservative.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah.
A listener left this comment. 20 years ago, I worked as an editor of K-12 textbooks. The terror of Texas was palpable even in mathematics, in history, and social studies. The stranglehold that Texas had over states' adoptions process was overwhelming. Now, mathematics, why would math even become an issue?
I think you're hitting upon, I mean, the discussion about experts is really hitting upon the crux of the issue. At the moment, the board refuses to set criteria for what would constitute expertise in a subject for reviewing it. I mean, they do require a degree in a related field, but they wouldn't even require that that degree came from an accredited university. So even the choice of what expertise is brought into the process is politicized. And in math, I mean, I think you may have heard the term fuzzy math. That came about 10 years ago in the math curriculum debate here in Texas. And it was really less about mathematics and more about what kind of word problems get used and if they had a particular political bent or not. Do we talk about rainforests being destroyed or not? Do we talk about, you know, do we calculate? I don't know. I mean, this is, it's a crazy making kind of process. But yes, every single subject, even mathematics, is politicized at the Texas State Board of Education.
And you mentioned Ron Wetherington, the professor from Southern Methodist University, who is an expert who's recommending that evolution be taught. He says, if I remember correctly, I think it was him, that the general scientific ignorance of the members of the board is palpable. Does the fact that we're in a situation where politicians are making decisions about science education make this process more complex?
Yes. I think what we need is teachers from our classrooms who know what students are excited by and experts from our colleges and universities and from the business world to make these decisions and to get partisan politicians out of the game.
Now, Scott, Don McElroy, who we've mentioned earlier, was the chair of the board during the debate over the evolution section mm-hmm. of the textbook. How did he become involved in education? You said he's a dentist.
We've got a section in the film where we highlight sort of where he gets his motivation from. When he had kids, he said that's when he really started to think about education and became involved in his local school board. From that point, he got involved in the State Board of Education.
And then he was appointed by Governor Rick Perry?
He was then appointed by Governor Perry to serve as chairman of the board, and later he was lost that chairmanship.
But while he was in power, he's a man who is a young earth creationist.
Yes.
Can you explain what that is?
Yes. A young earth creationist believes that the earth is, and I'm sure there are detailed variations of this, but believes that the earth is 6,000 years old. Don believes that, you know, dinosaurs and man walk the earth together, and we explore some of his personal thoughts and feelings in the documentary as well.
So does he think that the textbooks should be teaching creationism instead of evolution?
He doesn't at the forefront propose these ideas in the board meetings. Many people feel, though, that his personal sort of beliefs leak in one way or another. However, he doesn't, at the forefront, he doesn't vocalize these opinions in the board meetings.
And how did you get him to participate in this documentary, which many people will see as being very critical of him?
Yes, he's actually very much in favor of the documentary. He enjoys it, and I've noticed with many of the social conservatives, they enjoy the documentary as well. After board meetings, I would hang around and try to talk to the board members. Eventually, I talked with Don and got an interview and shot a little B-roll to support that interview. And that sort of got my foot in the door to shoot more and more observational footage with Don. But I always tell people he's an open book. He really would allow almost anyone into his dentist office to talk with. And in fact, another news station locally in Austin has filmed at his Sunday school. So he's very open.
Because he's convinced of the rightness of his views.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, one of his allies on the board is Cynthia Dunbar, who's also a law professor at Liberty University's School of Law. Was she as outspoken as Dawn in her support of intelligent design?
Yes. This is about undermining students' acceptance of evolution because intelligent design, teaching intelligent design in the classroom, has been ruled unconstitutional. So it was a new tactic of seizing upon the word weaknesses in the curriculum developed by the Discovery Institute to kind of undermine the teaching of evolution. It was a new way to get creationism through the back door. So
wait, the Discovery Institute, that's not a Texas group, is it?
No, that's a national group. And the words strengths and weaknesses had existed in the Texas curriculum. Essentially, it said students will study the strengths and weaknesses of scientific theories, including gravity, evolution, et cetera. And
there are weaknesses in the theory of gravity?
Well, there aren't. Those words had been put in the 1980s as a compromise with the few creationists that sat on the State Board of Education at the time. And then they had kind of sat there quietly without much attention. And the Discovery Institute, who had lost the legal battle to teach intelligent design as science, was kind of casting about for a way to still undermine the teaching of evolution, and they stumbled upon, or they knew all along, that those words were there, weaknesses, and Texas was a testing ground for using those words to see if they could get items into the curriculum and textbooks that did, in fact, undermine instruction and evolution. So it was this, I know I sound like black helicopters are circling the building, but there was really a political agenda behind this work. Cynthia was just as strong and outspoken as Dawn in this. She actually was the one, because of her experience as a lawyer and crafting language very clearly very cleverly, she was the person who was able, when the religious conservatives would lose their vote, she would then revive it with new, slightly altered language in what I see as a true manipulation. I'm sure she doesn't, and I'm sure the other side doesn't. So she was very outspoken, yes.
Well, she has written a book that describes public education as tyrannical. So she has very strong opinions about education in general. My guests are Kathy Miller, who is featured in a new film called The Revisionaries as one of the she is the president of the Texas Freedom Network, which has worked to counter the efforts of social or religious conservatives. The director of the film is here as well, Scott Thurman. And this is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. The strengths and weaknesses phrase was eventually removed from the new TEKS. So how did Don McElroy get a different amendment approved? And does it pretty much do the same sort of thing as the old strengths and weaknesses phrase used to do? Kathy?
Yes. Cynthia, that's exactly what happened. The vote to remove strengths and weaknesses, you know, these new words that have been drafted into the culture wars from the curriculum, was 8 to 7. And the next day, Cynthia Dunbar introduced an amendment that said students will analyze and evaluate, quote, all sides of the debate. And by introducing the words all sides, it does the same thing as weaknesses. I mean, the problem here is that there is scientific consensus about the theory of evolution, and they were capitalizing on the lack of scientific knowledge of the average person, that a scientific theory is very different from my theory about who should be president or what to wear for my date on Saturday night. It's very different than an opinion. But by saying all sides, it comes across as being very fair and even-handed, even though there aren't all sides to the debate. I mean, there is no scientific debate about the theory of evolution.
Now, Scott, you talked to teachers about how they had to deal with this. Many teachers feel that, well, science teachers accept evolution as a scientific fact.
Yes, they do. In fact, I started the documentary as sort of a short portrait on the science teacher. Unfortunately, many of the administrators blocked access because of the controversial nature of teaching evolution. So from there, I was pointed to the State Board of Education and began sort of shifting my focus from a portrait of science teachers to a political issue.
Well, can you describe the kind of lobbying of the board that goes on? At every break, the members of the board seem to be surrounded by people.
Absolutely. It's an open door for these State Board of Education meetings. Anybody can go. Anybody can sign up to give public testimony. So during these meetings, we found many times the news cameras would sort of turn off during the middle of the session, and we found those were the best moments because you really see how tough it is for these board members to please their constituents.
So what was the fallout, Kathy, from all the attention paid to this 2009 debate over the treatment of evolution? Were people embarrassed?
Well, there was more national attention paid to the debate over evolution here than had ever been paid to any of these decisions at the State Board of Education. But it was followed immediately by revision of the social studies standards, which garnered even more national attention and, you know, late-night comedy shows making fun of Texas. I would say that the outcome to date is that this heightened awareness of the highly political nature of education policy decisions at the State Board led to Dr. McElroy's defeat for re-election by a more moderate Republican in his primary. And in the most recent vote of the Board on science instructional materials, including covering evolution, there were no issues with teaching evolution, and they adopted materials that the scientific consensus said were very good. So I would say that the outcome was that voters started paying more attention to who they were electing.
But then you say that there was a new emphasis on social studies guidelines. At one point, wasn't there an effort to take Thomas Jefferson out of the textbooks?
The Thomas Jefferson issue has been completely misunderstood. There was an effort to remove reference to Thomas Jefferson's influence over revolutions 1750 to 1800. And it was more about teaching about Enlightenment thinking than it was necessarily about Thomas Jefferson. But Jefferson became a flashpoint, and he became a flashpoint because what we were witnessing was an onslaught of ideologically motivated amendments to what teachers and experts in the field recommended students learn. Everything from substituting country western music for hip-hop to teaching women that it was the men that gave them the right to vote and that that was more important than learning about the suffragettes, and just a number of very ideologically driven amendments that really had nothing to do with what experts and scholars believe students need to learn to be successful in college and jobs of the 21st century.
A listener, Elle in Brooklyn, left this comment on our show page. When I worked for a major college textbook publisher in the early 90s, we would publish a special Texas edition of certain books. For example, American History required a special edition that included 6 additional chapters on Texas history alone. Not getting the adoption in Texas would have been devastating to sales.
It's no surprise that Texans asked for a lot more coverage of Texas. But you're hearing from people the truth, that the power over the publishers in the textbook industry that Texas holds is tremendous.
Well, the members of the Texas State Board of Education are elected in down-ticket races that get very few votes. But from the film, it's clear that they can have a huge impact on state policy. Is that where the culture wars are being fought today, do you think?
Well, I think that few people realize that culture war battles over evolution and what we teach in social studies are a larger part of the culture wars. And in my opinion, determining the content of what every child in public schools learns from kindergarten to graduation is a tremendous amount of power. And I would advocate that we hold nonpartisan elections and that we give genuine subject matter experts a lot more authority over these decisions in the future, because education isn't about being Republican or Democrat, red or blue, donkey or elephant. Education is about getting kids ready for the future. And I think that the Texas State Board of Education has lost sight of that goal.
Now, Scott, Texas is not the only state where these culture wars are being fought. Do we know if there are other states where we're having the same debates over textbooks?
Well, recently in Tennessee, and I don't know the details of this, maybe Kathy can help me out a little bit, but strengths and weaknesses has sort of entered the debate a little bit. Kathy, do you know?
So Tennessee is now debating over strengths and weaknesses, even though it's been eliminated in Texas?
There's been an onslaught of legislative pushes around so-called academic freedom bills that would essentially say teachers have the right to instruct their students without interference. The idea here is, again, a backdoor effort to undermine the teaching of evolution by kind of bracketing it in the idea of academic freedom. I mean, we've seen this, ironically, on the national stage. We're bracketing access to birth control with religious freedom, and we see we're bracketing teaching intelligent design or undermining evolution under the context of academic freedom. And there's been a slate of those bills for the last 4 or 5 years, and Tennessee's just among the most recent.
And in the end, do people in New York City wind up with textbooks that are acceptable in Texas? Or
New York City is lucky because you're big. New York City, as I mentioned before, the base for what comes to New York very often has a great deal of influence from Texas. So the base that you start with is probably a Texas book. But because the market in New York City is so big, and because New York is what they call open territory, so publishers have to sell to each school district as opposed to just the state, New York City has the ability to force publishers to change those books for New York because it's giant. The problem is, if people don't pay attention and they're not monitoring this, they may end up with Texas books without knowing it. So it's really important for your listeners to pay attention to these debates as they come up in your local school boards, because those decisions could make the difference in whether you teach Texas books or not.
The film we're talking about, The Revisionaries, is being screened this Saturday. It's the day after tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Tribeca Film Festival. And then we have a schedule of other screenings on our show page at WNYC.org. My great thanks to Scott Thurman, who made the film, and to Kathy Miller, who is the president of Texas Freedom Network, for being on our show today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.